Hymn number 651. Face to face.
Behold him. Someone was corresponding with yesterday said something about the Lord coming again and coming again soon. And all I could think about was that statement in the book of Revelation by the bride. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Every day seems like it's more the reality of my own heart. All that goes on, I sometimes question whether I want to just leave this world or whether or not I really want to see Christ. I hope that really I want to behold the Lord of glory and praise him more perfectly. We want to pray tonight for all those that are sick, and I want you to remember especially Brother Lance and Sister Robin Heller's daughter, Clara, I believe is her name. She had a terrible accident, fell in Colorado while hiking, in serious condition. And we're so thankful for Lance and Robin and the work that the Lord has called him to do. And we love them and we pray for her and for them and that family, especially in these moments. We ask the Lord's great help to be upon her and to them as they seek to be with her. Let's bow for prayer now. Father, we are, as we lift up our voices, so unworthy of the least of your mercies, so unfaithful in ourselves, so needy and so sinful, such great sinners that if it were not that Christ is such a great Savior, we would have no hope. We ask tonight that we might, because of him, be heard. That you might receive our petitions tonight based on his blood and his righteousness. We look to him as our mediator, as our great high priest, to represent us. And his sacrifice and all this worthiness that we find in the worthy Lamb to be all our hope. But we bow before you tonight and we earnestly pray that you would help us, that you would be in our midst to refresh and to revive us, to encourage our hearts in your truth, to strengthen our bodies and our every situation. We pray, Lord, that we might have hearts that desire to worship and to praise you, that we might be enabled to overcome all the obstacles in self and in life, that we might bear a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you might give us in this day the courage, the emboldenment to rightly divide the word of truth, to speak the gospel that it gives to you all the glory, to give hope to the outcast of this world, and Lord, to speak honestly concerning such as the self-righteous Pharisees of our day. We know that there is no one to save but Christ alone. And we pray that everything that we say and do tonight and at all times might exalt him and exalt him alone as the Savior and Redeemer of his people. We pray now that as we enter into this service, you would help especially this dear young lady that has fallen. Her injuries, Lord, we know must be severe. But we're thankful that they're not above your ability and beyond your ability to heal. We pray for Lance and for Robin, for that whole family. And we ask that you might strengthen them and give them grace in this hour of trial. We ask, Lord, for all of your people. We don't know all of their situations. Others don't know all of our situations here, but we pray. And we ask you who know all of your people that you would help us, that you would not leave us to ourselves, but that you would quicken us. Give us, Lord, more grace. Watch over us in this wicked time in which we live. Lord, cause, we pray, for your glory, the right to prevail, and do what you will, because it all belongs to you. We thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for these that have gathered together tonight to sing your praise and to pray and to obediently assemble as you have commanded us, that we might encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. We thank you, Lord, for all in this hour, on this earth, who do call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd forgive us. We ask everything in the name of Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 408, Blessed Assurance.
Salvation.
Turn, if you will, tonight for a few minutes to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 17th chapter. And I'll read this first verse. I'm sure I've read it to you many times in one message or the other. But it is when God appears to Abram. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. When he says this to Abraham, or Abram as he is at this time, he says, walk before him, walk before me, and be perfect. But we know by the rest of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament too, he was talking about Abraham's walking by faith. And he is not saying for him to do it in his own strength. He's not saying do it on your own. But he's basing it on what he's going to do, on what he will do. Not Abraham's ability, but God's ability. Because he goes on and he says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. It's all based on what God will do. And I think that the name by which God identifies himself here is the key. The name that God calls himself when he speaks to Abraham, it is not by his name of omnipotence. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And we would assume oftentimes that that is the name that he goes by here, the Almighty God. The all powerful, the omnipotent God, which he is. But in truth, he identifies himself to us in this verse and elsewhere as the Almighty God, which really means something different. Because this name is translated by most as God All Sufficient. El Shaddai. And we can only understand that when we understand something about what that name, El Shaddai, really means in the Hebrew, God calling himself by this name to show us his great sufficiency. The name means many-breasted. He is the many-breasted, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. And we get a hint of this also in Isaiah 66. Let me read it to you. Rejoice, ye Jerusalem, and be glad with her, or rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. Plural. The breasts of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. He is God all sufficient. And really, it means also he is self-sufficient, which is can only apply to God. Self-sufficiency only applies to God. He's the only one that is self-contained, as we say, can live and exist and does so without any help or anything from anybody else. Jehovah is sufficient in and of himself and for himself, and stands in no need of any or anything from another, and he has sufficiency for others, both in his providence and most especially his grace. And it is for this reason, among others, but this reason, that he can be trusted in everything and for everything that we need for our soul and our body, both now in time and for eternity. He's El Shaddai. He's God all sufficiency. And we know by our experience that man, our friends, our family, and others, they are totally insufficient. And therefore, they're not to be depended on. They may help us, assist us, supply something for us, but they cannot, like God, help us in every time of need. And not only can they not help us in every time of need, they cannot help us in every need, especially our greatest need. But what this shows us is that God is a never-failing supply. He is an inexhaustible fountain of all goodness. He has a sufficiency in Himself and for Himself and for all of His people. A sufficiency for everyone who trusts Him for everything. It's not like we can do this for ourselves and that for ourselves, and we only need God for something. We need Him for everything. Sometimes I think about what a needy sinner I am. I'm in need of everything you can imagine, from that which is necessary to sustain my physical existence, everything that I need to sustain my spiritual existence, and everything in between. Amen. I need every minute. I need in every aspect of my life. And if God does not meet my great need with His exceeding sufficiency, I will never have enough. I will never have enough. But this is how He presents Himself to Abraham, calls him Abraham now, which literally means something by the suffix that's added on to his name here. It has something to do with breath or life, which is faith. And he says, Abram, you are to believe and trust me and my sufficiency, and not only for you, but for all your children. I've entered into a covenant with you and all your children. But the children he's talking about here are not his natural children, but those children which are identified as the seed of Abraham by faith. They are like him, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to Him as He is in this verse, and we contemplate what the Bible says throughout of God in His great sufficiency, there are three things tonight that I want us to look at and to remember concerning His great sufficiency. And the first one is this. He is all we need in the salvation of our souls. If there is one thing that I am sure of, it is that false religion presents a Christ that also has added to Him something else, and therefore He is not the Christ. What God says of Himself to Abraham is what He says to all His people, especially in how His sufficiency is explained and confirmed and secured for them in Christ. He's the all-sufficient one. That is, as our Savior, as our mediator, as our priest, He is our great sufficiency. I always think about what the lady asked Brother Scott Richardson. And it really is a good question. It's one that we have to have answered from the Scriptures and applied by the Spirit of God to our heart. She asked this question. She said, is Christ really all we need? Is Christ really all enough? And Brother Richardson answered her, and he answered her wisely. He said, if He's all you've got, He is. But any time that something is added to Christ, whether it is our faith, whether it is our word, whether it is our feeling, whether it is whatever that religion or the world or human opinion might add to the Lord Jesus Christ, if anything is added to Christ, it is no longer enough. Because Christ is all. It's amazing to me how that men, with regard to men, they like this universal idea. They come to a passage like John 3:16 or something like that, and they say, well, the world is world, is the world. Or they say, all is all. But when it comes to Christ, they don't think that way. Listen to this. Paul, describing, as he does in Colossians 3, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all. Well, if He's in all, then He's all to everyone in God's church. In this spiritual body that is called the body of Christ, the body of His elect, the body of believers, in them, every one of them that are truly in this body, Christ is all. You ever think about that word all in the truest sense as it's applied to Christ? It's kind of like when light is turned on in a room, a bright light is turned on in a room, and all the darkness has to flee away. It's not dark here anymore, it's not dark, because the light has prevailed and pervaded all of the space, and there is no more darkness. Well, when Christ is all, that means that He excludes everything else, every person else, every work else, everything is excluded if Christ is all. If He is our righteousness, we have a sufficiency of righteousness. If He is our salvation, We have a sufficiency of salvation that cannot be added to. If He's our redemption, if He's our sanctification, if He's our peace, we have all the peace we need, all the sanctification we need, all the righteousness we need, all the redemption we need. We have everything to stand us in good standing before God Almighty and nothing more. Now, when I say Christ is all, you know I'm talking about His person and His work, not some mystical person. We know Jesus Christ aright only by how He reveals Himself to be in His Word and for what He's told us that He's done in His Word. But Christ is all. The Bible says that God has blessed His people with all spiritual blessings in Him. If He gave us every spiritual blessing, when He chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world, we, though in progression, may have received and may be made aware of these things. We had them all in Christ. We had this great sufficiency in Christ before the world was. That's what this covenant He's talking about here has to do with. He was the all-sufficient one as He stood as the mediator, as the surety of the everlasting covenant. You know how I know that? Because we weren't there. God made a covenant, but we weren't there except to be there in that covenant as the recipients of every blessing of that covenant. If Christ is the surety, how's it made sure? If He's the mediator, how did He mediate this covenant? By His coming into this world and living the life and dying the death that made this covenant sure and that ratified this testament. We were not there and we are not there as He was hung as our substitute on the cross and finished the work. We just weren't. And we have no hand when the Spirit of God comes to us and applies that work, gives us spiritual life and faith, and He'll always be the one that God looks to and finds that's all that's necessary to bless us and to save us and to keep us and to delight in us forever. If He's all you got, He's sufficient. He's all sufficient. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, his prayer, his desire for these people at Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus, is this: and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, what's being said there in part is this: we cannot even know our need. We do not have any idea of the greatness of our need, of what we need. You say, if I know it, I'll ask the Lord for it. But you don't know it all. You might know a few things. The Lord blesses us to know something about our need, or else we wouldn't call on Him. We wouldn't look to Him. But we don't know anything about the extent of our need or the variety of our needs. But although we're not even able to think it so as to ask for it, His ability, His sufficiency goes beyond that. And He's El Shaddai. He's El Shaddai. I sometimes feel like that I'm like a sow that has 10 pigs. And as the little boy said, she only has an 8-place city. It's like I'm needy here and I'm needy there and I'm needy there. Surely God cannot keep track of all this, much less know how to provide and be able to do, and especially my needs as a sinner. But He's El Shaddai. And He gives His people in every sense to suck on the breasts of His consolations, of His comforts. And they're all in Christ. He's all we need in salvation. He's Christ alone. And He's everything we need in the gospel work that He's given us. Pride still shows itself in us. We get the notion sometimes, wondering what will happen if we don't spread this gospel. God's depending on us. No, He's not. He's depending on Him. He's not depending on your sufficiency, your talents, your abilities, my talents, my ability. He's depending on His great sufficiency. If unbelief plagues us, we can't do it, we can't speak, we don't know what to do, He does. He can. In Moses' day, Moses was one of those called of God to lead, called of God to speak. And the first thing he does, he says, I can't talk. Oh, yes, you can. Or I can't do this, like Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't speak. We don't tell Him what we can do and what we can't do. We're not ever to enter into anything in our own strength, but in His sufficiency. And God is able to to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We don't speak, we don't do, we don't give, we don't help on the basis of our sufficiency, but on the basis of God's sufficiency. And then the last thing is this: He's all we need in the difficulties of this life. You know, Paul was not a superman. He was not a super spiritual Christian. Turn over into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had weaknesses of every kind like we do. He had pains, problems, you name it. Danger. He didn't bear witness to the gospel in a time that was just far easier than it is today. He did it in a time that may be like a time we're headed for. And that's when another power takes over your people. The Roman government, the Roman rule, all the hardships of that hour, all the idolatry, especially of his own natural religion, the Jews, all the heathenism of Corinth and various places of the Gentile nations. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 7, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Some say that that was a physical ailment, an eye ailment. But on every hand, he, in the life that God had given him to live, to preach the gospel or bear witness of the gospel, he faced opposition, he faced discouragement, he faced sickness, he faced an enemy, religious and otherwise. And he had this special or particular thorn in the flesh. And he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Well, that makes me feel better. Even Paul was guilty of praying that God would take away the things that he had sent. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, or he could say, for when I am insufficient, then I am strong, because my strength is in his sufficiency. All these things opposed him. All these things opposed Abraham. His weakness, his failures. All these things transpired in the life of one who, for whom we're named, the sons of Jacob. But when Esau met Jacob, and Jacob tried to give him a prize, maybe a bribe, I don't know. Esau said, I have enough. But Jacob had to reply, I have all things. I have Christ. I have all things. And every believer, and none but believers, can say, I have all things. Therefore, only God's people can be sure to have not only enough, but more enough. God is El Shaddai. He's the nourisher, the strength giver, the satisfier. And he is definitely, clearly, that in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I was working on this morning, that hymn came to my mind. That we sang it as a chorus sometimes. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Jesus is my all in all. All I need, all I need. While he keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. He redeemed me when he died. All I need, all I need. I with him was crucified. He is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need, all I need. By his Spirit sealed I am. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. Christ is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, our Savior. Father, we pray that Your Word that speaks of Your great being and promises and work in Christ might comfort and sustain them. Grant them assurance of salvation in Him, encouragement in the work that You've called us to do, consolation in the midst of all the troubles and trials and afflictions of this life. Help us to rest in Your all-sufficiency and not our own strength. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.